Professor Bob Grant is a leading San Francisco-based HIV expert who was named one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people in the world in 2012. And that was due to his groundbreaking research into PrEP. Bob Grant, what can we learn about the successes or failures of PrEP in the US and particularly in San Francisco, where you're from?
Well, what we're finding from our work in San Francisco and other places around the world is several important things. One is PrEP works when it's taken, and the second is that people can take it. We're seeing very high levels of PrEP use and adherence in people who are given a chance. And the third thing that we're seeing clearly in San Francisco is that PrEP can be used on a public health scale. At this point, we have 10 to 15% of gay and bisexual men using PrEP by the end of 2014, and demand for this service continues to rise.
I guess the public health question is one of cost. Is there a cost-benefit analysis for people to be on PrEP rather than, eventually being on HIV meds if they contract HIV?
PrEP prevents HIV infection, and every single HIV infection requires lifelong therapy. And so we really, it's affordable to do whatever we can to prevent HIV. And we can see that PrEP is cost-effective as long as it's used by people who benefit from it. And this is what we see. If we just make it available to anyone who says, yes, I want PrEP, it ends up being used by the people who benefit the most from it.
Yeah, that's something I took away from the reports that I read of your ASHM presentation, is that those that want it are the ones seeking it out, and they're the ones who also would benefit the most from it. Is that the same experience in the U.S.?
Oh, this is exactly what we're seeing in the United States. PrEP is used by people who have the most to benefit from it, and it's perhaps fortunate or unfortunate, depending on your perspective, that PrEP doesn't make you high in any way. And the reason for wanting PrEP is because you feel like you need it and that there's something in your life that puts you at risk and you're nervous about that. And so PrEP really helps you protect yourself from HIV so that you can focus on other things.
Now, in Australia, it's estimated that some 2,500 to up to 6,000 people would be wanting PrEP. The argument, again, is going to be it's cheaper to get them to use condoms. Why is that simple answer no longer the right way to go?
Well, we know many people try to use condoms, but condoms can be difficult to use. They have to be available. You have to be in the mood. You have to put them on. It disrupts the sexual practice. So I think that telling people to use condoms is something that we've really tried to do for the last 30 years, and it doesn't produce more condom use. Now, I don't want to argue against condoms. Condoms are our friend. They prevent HIV. They prevent other sexually transmitted infections. But let's face it, they can be difficult to use, especially if you're drunk or high or, lost in the moment. And let's face it, good sex often leads us to be lost in the moment. The beauty of PrEP is that you can take it any time during the day. You can take it when you wake up and your head is clear, and you can take it any time during the day. It doesn't have to be taken, and it really need not be taken, in the heat of the moment. Condoms only work when they're used in the heat of the moment, and that's when it's most difficult for people to act.
I guess it leads to the question, do gay men have a right to have sex without a condom? What are your thoughts?
Well, everyone has a right to have the sex that they desire as long as other people don't get hurt. And we honor that right. It's part of our humanity. It's called the pursuit of happiness in some situations. and I think we need to respect that heterosexuals, bisexuals, gay men, many people are trying to use condoms, and we don't always get that done. And the punishment for having a condom mistake or not using a condom every time, the punishment should not be HIV infection. We don't, that's really unfair. And it's not like we don't think that gay men are less able to use condoms than straight communities. Everyone struggles with condoms. And I say that knowing that condoms are a friend. I think that we should, in certain circumstances, they really work well. But they don't work all the time.
I guess that leads us into the difference between pleasure and risk reduction. Have we seen a change in sexual behaviour because of PrEP amongst those who are using it? Are they changing their sexual behaviour in any way because they're on it?
PrEP has a very powerful effect on people's experience with sex. We've seen this time and time again, that people feel safer during sex, and that is a powerful feeling. It's empowering. It creates a sense of calm. We think it's healing. We're seeing less anxiety, less depression, less sort of mindless sexual activity among PrEP users. What?
Less mindless sexual activity.
Less mindless sexual activity. Why? It's because people every day are taking a pill and they're making plans for their sexual goals and in calm moments. And it really does help people become more mindful. Now, there's no doubt that some people start PrEP because they want to stop using condoms. But for every one of those, we have people who go from not having any plan for avoiding HIV because they're so freaked out about it that they really don't think about HIV at all until maybe the morning after. And they go from this sort of state of constant panic to having a plan. And that plan includes, you know, talking to partners, using PrEP, figuring out who's on therapy, whether the therapy is successful. I mean, there's lots of ways that people can protect themselves. And what we're finding is that PrEP users are often more mindful of their sexual goals, more intentional in the way they pursue those goals, and, you know, and more successful sexually. And I mean that in all the positive ways that you can imagine.
We know that fear breeds stigma, and in the HIV space, there is plenty of it. What effects is PrEP having on HIV stigma? Because in itself, there is stigma associated with PrEP.
Well, yes, and fortunately, I think Australia has seen less PrEP stigma than we saw in the United States, where there was an enormous amount of vitriol and attacks that were very personal toward PrEP users who were, you know. But I think it's clear now that PrEP users have been able to stand up to that and say, look, you know, PrEP is a responsible choice. I'm protecting myself, I'm protecting my partners, and I'm protecting my community. And I'm doing it in a way that shows leadership. And so I think that PrEP users now are champions, and they're being championed in the United States. And I'm happy that Australia, you know, to a certain extent, is already there. I hope that Australia is going to have its typically Australian practical approach to ending this epidemic.
I had a friend ask me the question the other day. He said, is it okay that my fuck buddy of some 10 years history is on PrEP and now insists that I bear back with him because he's on PrEP? Have you seen it used as almost like a sexual blackmailing tool?
I don't know that I've heard exactly that version, but I have heard people say that that people they meet online have told them that they simply will not date them, or they will not meet them for sex unless they're on PrEP. And so, you know, I actually hate that discourages me because I think that sex is less fun and less fulfilling whenever it's coercive. And I think that we need to honor people's desire to use a condom if that's what they want to do. And certainly, you know, someone who insists on bareback sex, you know, may not be compatible with a partner who really wants to use a condom. And let's just be consensual about our sexual approach.
In most of the studies that I've seen, there has been a decrease in condom use by those who are on PrEP. And concurrently an increase in sexually transmitted infections. Is that a concern, and is it a concern in the HIV space because of the synergy between STIs and HIV?
Well, I think that certainly there are some people who start PrEP and stop using condoms, but like I said, there's also others who go from not having any plan for protecting themselves. They start PrEP and they develop a variety of plans, or they use condoms in a more strategic way where, you know, they may choose not to use a condom with their primary partner or with somebody that they're going to see on a regular basis with whom they want more sort of raw sex and intimacy, whereas they may use condoms with other people. So, you know, I think that condoms do have a role in many people's sex lives, and we're seeing that PrEP does alter that. But really, for everyone who stops using condoms, we're seeing others who start using condoms more strategically. And then the other point is that if people are having sex in a more pleasurable way, and sex on PrEP is often more pleasurable because it feels safer and because people feel empowered to when they have control over their own HIV risk, that's a good thing. I mean, let's celebrate that. You know, if sex can be more fun, then by all means. I mean, we have a right to that, and that's in some ways why we live, and how we live. Yeah.
We're speaking with Professor Bob Grant. He's a PrEP expert out from San Francisco. Professor Grant, you've seen a 30% reduction in new infections in San Francisco because of PrEP, I'm told. Tell us about that extraordinary reduction. It's quite groundbreaking, I would have thought.
Well, really, over the last 2 years, we've seen PrEP use in San Francisco go from very low levels, really unmeasurable levels because they were so low, to having 10 to 15% of gay and bisexual men in San Francisco taking PrEP. And over those 2 years, with the rollout of PrEP, we did see a 30% decrease in the numbers of new infections. Now, you know, we're also doing everything else we know how to do to control the epidemic. We're providing testing for HIV to anyone who wants it. We're providing HIV therapy for anyone with an HIV diagnosis, regardless of their clinical stage or CD4 count. And we're doing what we can about stigma. But over the last 2 years, when we saw this dramatic benefit, the main thing that was new and that was happening on a major scale was the rollout of PrEP. So I do think that PrEP played a role. I think it's wrong to attribute all of the benefit to PrEP because everyone is contributing to ending HIV transmission in different ways. And for some people, it's taking PrEP. For other people, it's getting their own HIV infection treated. For some people, it's getting a test. For others, it's holding their friend's hand when they go to the clinic to get the test or to get treatment. So we all have a role to play on a large or small scale. And I don't think that anyone should say, oh, it's just me or it's just my idea. It takes a village to end this epidemic. It took a village to cause it, and so it takes a village to end it, and working together. But I think we can, and I think Australia can. But PrEP did play a role because we saw a major new change in decreasing HIV infections, and the one thing that was happening on the largest scale was the rollout of PrEP.
The level of engagement that PrEP requires in testing and in seeing your doctor and getting new scripts every 3 months, that in itself has to have a snowballing effect to ending HIV, that people are monitoring their own sexual health and doing so because they have to go and see a doctor every 3 months. That's got to be beneficial.
Well, they have to see a doctor or a nurse practitioner. I want to emphasize that community-based organizations that can hire a nurse can also provide PrEP. So I think this is something that everyone can do. But you're right. I think that, in fact, a friend of mine in New York said that PrEP is a gateway drug to primary care.
And I like that.
Yeah. Well, and it's exactly what we're finding. We're finding people who really had no desire to have a primary care provider. They have maybe a multiple of chronic health problems. They just didn't have time to take care of them. They get into a PrEP program, and then they get their diabetes treated and their blood pressure treated and their acid stomach disease treated. And, you know, they really find a way to have a regular interaction. But the key, and you mentioned sexually transmitted infections before, PrEP for the first time is giving us an opportunity to test people and treat people for sexually transmitted infections every 3 months. That's been the recommendations in many countries, and I believe Australia as well. And let's face it, despite recommendation for that frequent testing, it really doesn't happen except for every 6 to 12 months for many people. PrEP changes that. PrEP really gives us an opportunity to test and for people to be tested every 3 months. And that helps. It helps, you know, if people get treated, their partners get treated. You know, I think we could see a net benefit for sexually transmitted infections.
What does PrEP offer those living with HIV in regards to both external and internal stigma? You've mentioned that it's a game changer on many fronts, but for those living with HIV already, how important is PrEP?
PrEP is providing huge benefits to people living with HIV, and it does it through a dissolving stigma. PrEP is distributing responsibility for protection. You know, it used to be that the negative partner had to rely entirely on the positive partner to use a condom, to know their HIV status, to get treated, to make sure the viral load was... It was just this incredible burden that was solely borne by the positive person. And that's overwhelming, and it's wrong. We all have a role to play in ending HIV transmission, and giving the power and control for protection to the negative partner is relieving the positive partner of their fear and their guilt and their sense of having to take care of people. they can go back to enjoying. But the biggest change has been in affecting what is often called HIV serosorting. And that is where negative people preferentially seek out negative partners for sex, and positive people preferentially seek out positive people for sex. It's called serosorting, and it's incredibly divisive, and it's traumatizing. I mean, I've got patients in my clinic who say they're devastated when they're, you know, cruising a place, and they meet somebody who's really attractive, and there's chemistry, and they're getting excited, and the guy says, well, you know, I'm HIV positive. And the negative serosorter shuts down and says, oh, God, I love this guy. He's so beautiful, but I cannot have sex with him.
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa. And what's amazing is that it's traumatizing to both people. Mm-hmm. A connection that was exciting, that felt real, isn't going to happen, and it's because of that. And that is what really drives HIV stigma home. You know, the positive person ends up feeling, I've been rejected because of my HIV status, and sadly, that is what happened. And the negative person says, I've rejected a decent, wonderful, hot human being just because he has an HIV-positive diagnosis, and even though his viral load is normal. And what we're finding is that PrEP users now become more open to dating and having connections and having sex with positive people. And that process is healing. I mean, it makes everyone feel more human toward each other. And that is when HIV stigma disappears, is when we all treat each other like human beings first, and that HIV is just the result of a lab test.
We've had 30 years of drilling the divide. How long do you think it'll take before we come back together again?
5 weeks. I don't know. But what I will say is that the transformations I've seen in people starting PrEP have been amazingly rapid. I see them, you know, when they start PrEP, and I see them 3 months later, and so many of them said this has been the best experience of their life, that they're able to love in a more open and natural way, and positive people say that, you know, I've always been in love with this negative guy, and we've never been able to do anything because he's afraid and I'm feeling guilty. Suddenly, they're having sex, and you know the healing power of good, safe sex that is not just safe in the sense that a condom is being used, but sex that feels profoundly safe. That healing power is near immediate.
It's going to transform the mental health and well-being of our community.
Yes, I think it very well might, and we're already seeing signs of that from pioneering research being done in New York City by my colleague, a sociologist, Sarit Galoob, which he reported just 2 months ago in Miami, was that that anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress disorder are decreasing among PrEP users, and we think it's because they're feeling safe during sex and that has some healing power.
Professor Bob Grant, thank you for coming to Australia and sharing your insights, and thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you, Dean, for your interest and your amazing questions and keeping us all entertained in the process.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.